Chalk Talk has repeatedly challenged members of the body of Christ not to say snarky little remarks or insults and cause division and dissension amongst the body. However, there is also a responsibility, a challenge for the one who is insulted. You may be loving enough, you may be forgiving enough, but do you allow the hurt to stop you in the call that God has placed on your life? To discuss that with me today is my co-host, Josh Peck.
Hey, hi. Donna. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
I'm glad that we're having this conversation. It's something that's near and dear to my heart, something I've dealt with a lot. And we have dealt with one side of this topic quite a bit on Chalk Talk. Usually it's the, you know, don't troll people, don't insult people, let's not be mean on social media. We've done that to death, and we're going to keep doing it to death because that's just the world we live in and everybody has to deal with it.
Indeed we will.
But there's another side to it. The person who gets insulted, how much of that is a person allowed to experience before they themselves fall into sin? So for example, if I read a comment toward me online, and if it's insulting, somebody's trying to insult me, what is the appropriate outward response? How do I react to it? But also the proper inward response. How does Jesus want me to feel about that? Should I care at all? Should it bother me? And if it does, how far am I allowed to go in that insult and that hurt? How much am I allowed to take that on and allow it to dictate how I live the rest of my
life? How long do you carry it? How long do you foster it and feed it so it continues to become this monster.
Right. And then how much blame am I allowed to put on the other person for that?
For why you're not going anywhere with your life because of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I want to make it clear before we go very far at all in this discussion that there is real hurt.
Yeah.
There are people, I mean, we've had conversations in the past on this very show about the religious abuse that we've gone through.
Big time.
And there is a time and place where you are supposed to feel that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And you're actually supposed to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about pain being the part of the human condition that makes us stronger.
Right.
And that ultimately puts us into a position where we know how to minister better because of the trials and tribulations we've walked through.
Mm-hmm.
However, despite that, so if a person tells you, you know, I don't think you should minister here. You should go minister down the road because I don't like your purple tie.
Right.
Probably a good time to let it go.
Yeah.
If there's somebody who has been through perpetual hurt or religious abuse, specifically abuse that goes beyond what is just inside the walls of a church, but perpetual, hurtful, demoralizing, debilitating words being told to them about their value in the eyes of God, those are not the people we are talking to today.
Right.
We are not talking about those kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're tuning in and you're thinking, oh, they're about to talk to me because for 50 years my pastor put me down, that is not who we're talking to. We are talking specifically, and I don't always want to keep going back to the millennials.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing about the millennials, not to insult anyone, but I've noticed that there's a little bit of a trend. It's kind of an emo thing where they want to, you know, say, everything is equality, you know, 100% religious freedom. I'm going to picket sign for this and I'm going to stand for that. But at the end of the day, they get their feelings hurt like that.
Yeah, big
because
time.
The second you disagree with them and you come against them in any way, or somebody else comes against them, especially in a way that is rude, they get their feelings hurt and they just want to savagely go against this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's especially for Christians who happen to be born in the millennial generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's confusing. How do I go against that? I mean, how do I really just say the guy who told me my purple tie is off colored and I can't minister in this church or whatever petty little thing?
Mm-hmm.
How do I move beyond that? Or should you? That's the people we're talking to today. I want to make that clear because I don't want to think that we're about to tell anybody, oh, you just need to get over it, if what they've been through is at the core a debilitating abuse.
Right. And I think it's one of two things that we look at in each situation. I mean, obviously all of these things, when they happen, it's got to be taken on a case by case basis, but there's one of two things that could be happening. Either the person who's hurling this stuff, they're either virtue signaling, which that could be, that's rooted in pride. That means that they know that they're not really offended, but they're acting offended so they can kind of show themselves to be morally better than you. So that could happen by showing you did this rude thing and you didn't even see and you hurt my feelings. And, you know, that's
showing the insulter that they have to be held morally accountable. To something. Okay.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. So that's called virtue signaling. That kind of thing happens a lot. And that's rooted in pride. But there's also another side to it rooted in ignorance, which is that the person might actually believe that, whatever insulting thing that they said, they might actually believe that that's true. So somebody might believe that it's appropriate to discriminate against somebody because of the color of their clothes, or not allow, like literally allow a woman to speak in church because of various things that we've talked about on this channel. That's ignorance. That, I think, is easier to correct as long as the person isn't also prideful, because if you get both of those, then you got a real problem. But if it's something rooted in ignorance, then we really don't have as much of a reason to be necessarily offended or insulted as much as the world would say that we should, because they don't know what they're talking about. You know, they're and I don't mean ignorant as in stupid. Ignorant just means uninformed. So if they don't know and they react based on their limited knowledge, then we should expect that kind of thing to happen. We've all been there at various points in our lives. It's kind of like if you have a screaming child at home, are you offended that that they're screaming? No, they're just too young to know that's not appropriate behavior, depending on the situation, you know. But, obviously if they're hurt or something, that's different. So with those types of situations, there really isn't, with minor things, there really isn't a reason to dwell on it or be offended or get insulted, because it really is a waste of time. You could be spending that time instructing the person and just saying, well, hey, look, okay, I understand you believe that. I personally don't. Would you be open to talk about it? And let's see what we come up with. A lot of times the person will either just scoff it off and ignore you and walk away, or they'll actually want to have a conversation. So that you've built a bridge at that point to inform this person. That's not always going to be the case. That actually rarely happens anymore. But if the person means to do it, if the person means to offend you in some way, that's rooted in their own pride, so it really has nothing to do with you anyway, so we really don't have to be offended. If they do it out of ignorance, then we don't really need to be offended because they don't know what they're talking about. So in either case, you know, what are we getting so offended about today? You know,
well, and let's pretend that they do it knowledgeably,
mm-hmm.
and they don't do it to intend to offend.
Mm-hmm.
They intend to put upon you what they consider to be the moral righteous, you know. I go back to, you know, when we did the women's issue series, and it was like five episodes long, and we were explaining what Paul, you know, meant by what he said.
Yep.
About whether or not a woman can preach or teach in the church, or, you know, I suffer not a woman to speak, and all of these different things. We had a couple commenters that came on and said, so basically what you're saying is that Paul didn't mean anything he said.
Yeah.
Oh my word, if I wanted to have gotten offended,
mm-hmm.
I had every right at that point, because mm-hmm. they clearly didn't watch anything that we said. If they had watched it, we would have known that we're saying Paul said exactly,
mm-hmm.
or, I mean, he meant exactly what he said, and that we don't understand.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of, you know, what is their moral obligation? What do they feel convicted about versus what I feel convicted about? And here's the thing, it goes outside of the body of Christ too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not always a member of the body attacking another member of the body. We're also talking about just persecution, being of the body and the world outside looking at us and thinking that we are foolish, which of course is exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says, I love this. Okay, in Corinthians, when Paul says that God will use the foolish to confound the wise,
mm-hmm.
we need to do a chalk talk on that.
Yeah, definitely.
Because God is not calling anybody foolish.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is that a lot of people are like, oh, shoot, you know, I guess I must be one of those foolish people and I'm supposed to confound the wise. Well, that's not much of a prize.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. It's because God. What it's saying is that God will use the thing that the world sees as foolish to confound those that the world views as wise.
That's right.
It is a completely, it's like, whoo! I could preach an entire sermon on how amazing it would be to be one of the people who is deemed foolish in mm-hmm. the world.
That's right.
Because that means you get to confound the people who the world sees as the most, you know, rich with wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. But we're not just talking about, you know, body against the body. And we are talking about that too. But we're also talking about the world against the body.
Mm-hmm.
When do you allow an offense? Now, I like what you said, because there's a moment for instruction.
Yeah.
There's a moment where when somebody insults you, you say, you know, okay, whatever you feel is necessary at the moment. So maybe you say, hey, you know, I didn't know if you'd hurt my feelings. Let's talk about that. Maybe, and most likely it's probably not necessary to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just say, well, here's my opinion. You can go back and forth, try to work it out. But there's a time too,
mm-hmm.
that you need to just realize that whether this person is going to hear you or not, it is your responsibility as a child of God who's committed yourself to the work of Christ to let it go.
That's right.
And move on.
That's right. There were plenty of times throughout Jesus' ministry where he could have got offended. You know, lots and lots and lots of times.
Oh my gosh, so many times.
Most of the time he kept his mouth shut and he walked away. You know, a lot of times that was his response, because, and it wasn't that he's like, you know, being weak about it. It's okay, this is clearly not worth my time. You know, I got more important things to do. I'm going to go over there to people who actually want to hear what I have to say. You know, and I think that if we have that type of attitude, and it doesn't mean that we're better than anybody else, and, you know, obviously Jesus was, but it doesn't mean that we have, like, we develop a pride issue over it. But if we have that kind of attitude, like, for example, the comment that the few comments that you're referring to in the women's series, when somebody writes something like that, the motivation is to offend, you know, because obviously they didn't watch it, and obviously they know that if they present something like that, and then we read it knowing they didn't watch it, the assumption is we're going to get offended by that because they didn't take time to view our thing, and they just reduced it down to this really ignorant statement. So the point is to get offended. So if we do get offended, we're giving that person everything he wants, you know. And that's why I say, like, online with comments like that, if anybody gets comments like that, just delete them. Don't even bother responding. Block the person. It's really not worth anybody's time. But you're always going to have people like that. Now, when it comes to the world against Christians and persecution and stuff, up to a point. You know, in America, we don't get persecuted in the same way that Christians in the Middle East do, or that,
right.
You know, in biblical times have. So, like, our very light version of persecution is different. The way that I look at it is when the world, when let's say an atheist or a New Age person or just a non-believer insults me, the way I look at it is, well, of course that's going to happen. They don't have Jesus, you know, and it's easier to not get as offended by that because you kind of understand, you know. It doesn't mean you agree with it. It doesn't mean that you like it. You certainly don't love it, but you kind of understand it. Again, it's like, all throughout the Bible, it uses this metaphor of believers being as, you know, when you first get saved, you're like a baby on milk, and then there's meat teaching,
right.
And you kind of grow up. The Christian walk is kind of like from baby to adulthood. So if we look at that, the non-believers, they're not even babies yet. You know, they're
not even on milk.
They're not even on that yet.
Well, theologically speaking, they're not even born.
Right.
If you consider the born-again phase,
exactly.
Which is at the moment of conversion, they're not even born.
Exactly.
In this understanding.
Yeah, so what at that point, it's like, to me, what right do we have to get offended by anything they have to say? They don't know what they're talking about. And again, I don't mean it insultingly. It's just a literal, they don't know what they're talking about. Of course they're going to react this way. The Bible makes that explicit time and time again. You know, the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, or the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. And again, if we take that analogy, even baby Christians, we should expect them to scream and cry sometimes, you know, just like an actual baby would. But you teach them, you take care of them, you love them anyway. And I think that if we can kind of have that perspective, it might help us realize, okay, what am I actually involved in here? So it's just a matter of spiritual maturity, and I think if we use the example that the Bible has given us of babies and adults and milk and meat and all this stuff, I think that helps put it in perspective that there's a lot of cases, a lot of times that we feel like we should be insulted that we really don't have any reason to be.
So I think you've essentially very well proven that there isn't a reason to be offended.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another reason not to be offended. There's a lesson in it.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you're willing, if you're serving the same Lord that I'm serving, You will know that every time you're offended about something, every time your feelings get hurt, every time there's a trial or a tribulation, every time something makes you uncomfortable, that there is a lesson and there is a strengthening that comes through that. So don't be so willing to let go of the lesson in that.
That's right.
And I know that that doesn't sound like the almighty profound conclusion, but let that sink in for a minute. Every time that you are insulted, if you sit there and think, okay, before I allow this to ruin my day and throw me off and make me question whether or not what I am doing is or is not the path that God has put me on, go to Matthew 10:14.
All right, Matthew 10:14 says, "And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town." So it doesn't even say if you leave that house or town. It says when you leave, shake the dust off. It's fine. That's what you're supposed to do.
Those are the words of Christ. Mm-hmm. These are the words that Christ is saying. When you are in the work of Christ and you are doing what you know between you and the Holy Spirit, you've already worked it out that you're on the right path. And I understand that once in a while, you know, God will allow someone to speak into your life and say, you're not really on the right direction, on the right path.
Right.
Your direction is off. And those are moments to take to the Lord. But the end result is still the same. So-and-so hurt my feelings. Lord, what's the lesson?
Right.
And if the lesson is you need to listen to this person who hurt your feelings because, yeah, it sounded harsh, but they're giving you wisdom and you need to mature through it, then that's what you need to do. You need to mature through it. But ultimately, it's still good. Mm-hmm. It's still a positive reinforcement in your life. Completely reconfigure your perspective here. If it is an insult and it doesn't have anything, you're not supposed to listen to it, and it has nothing to do with the direction that you're going in, shake the dust off and go to the next town. Take your ministry where it will be listened to. Those are the words of Christ. You can't argue with that.
Yeah.
So let's completely refurbish our perspective here. There's no reason to be offended by somebody trying to hurt your feelings. It's a waste of time to be offended. And I'm going to take it even a step further and risk that I'm going to offend some audience members out there by saying I even think it's a sin. Why? Because when you've been called to do something that is your ultimate duty as a follower of Jesus Christ is to do what you've been told to do. If you look at what happened with Jonah, imagine for a moment that Jonah gets on a boat to Tarshish and he goes in some different direction. And then when he gets back, he says, well, God, I was offended at what you asked me to do. Or I was offended because I went over to Nineveh. They offend me. Their presence offend me. They praise some fish god and I'm offended by that.
Yeah.
Where in the world do you think that he would have ended up?
Mm-hmm.
We already know because of the nature of God, he would have ended up, Jonah, get up, go where I told you to go, do what I've told you to do. The directive of God doesn't change because somebody is offended.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, it was a sin that Jonah got on a boat to Tarshish to go to another direction.
That's right.
Now, we're not necessarily intentionally going against God when we allow an offense to stop us or halt us in the progression of what we've been called to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. Not intentionally, but it's the same thing.
Right.
Because instead of saying, yes, Lord, I will go to Nineveh, I will preach your word, I will see those people redeemed, we're standing aside and going around God's plan because we feel hurt or we are offended or we don't like those people. The truth of the matter is that the ultimate directive of God, if you're in the mission of Jesus Christ, is to do what you're told to do, go where you're told to go, speak the words you're supposed to speak to the people that God sent you to speak to, and don't let anything stop you. Anything less than that is sinful, derailing, and you just have to get over it.
Amen.
Sorry, I know that that's harsh, but I'm sorry if I've offended you.
I don't think you are. Well, no, and you should. Nobody should be offended by that because it's just the truth. You know, we don't owe it to anybody else, nor are we commanded to justify ourselves to anybody who won't listen to us or who wants to insult us. There's nowhere in Scripture that claims that we're supposed to do that. Yet we find a lot of Christians doing that exact thing. You know, when they get insulted online, this happens just a lot online because that's the world we live in. But it could happen in person too. But when they get insulted, they feel that now they owe an answer to justify themselves. But that's the thing. Somebody who's hurling this, you're never going to change their mind because it's not about logic anyway. It's not about logic or reason. It's about their own emotional faults that don't have anything to do with you. You know, a lot of it is projection and these emotional outbursts. And a lot of it is just evidence of other trauma that they probably went through years before they even met you and have never dealt with. A lot of it manifests in that way. But whatever the reason, it doesn't matter. It's not up to us to find out, and it's not up to us to justify ourselves or our ministry work, our mission from Christ to anybody else that doesn't want to listen. If people want to listen, great. But if not, shake the dust off on your way out.
That's right. Shake the dust off on your way out. Let's look at Matthew 5:10. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I want to talk for a moment about our concepts of persecution.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's travel back in our minds to the New Testament. Take any apostle, throw a dart, any of the 12. Fact is, actually, any of the hundreds of disciples that followed Jesus around would likely have just immediately put up with any kind of persecution. Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen was put to death. He was stoned,
mm-hmm.
and his face shone like the sun and all of this. He went through that for the sake of the gospel, and he wasn't even one of the 12 apostles. So at what point, how far were they willing to be offended by the people around them?
Right. And can you imagine if they had that type of weak-mindedness, the gospel wouldn't have traveled as far as it did, as fast as it did. You know, if they let their offense stop them from talking, you know, "I'm not going to go to that town, you know, those people are all jerks," or whatever. If they did that, how possibly the gospel itself wouldn't have been looked at as anything strong. It would have been looked at as a weak message from weak people. But because they were really, really strong, you know, I think we need to put some strength back into Christianity, because a lot of mainstream Christians, unfortunately, have just kind of gotten weak-minded through all this offense stuff and all this victimhood nonsense and the stuff that the world teaches them that they should be like. And it's ridiculous. Nobody in the New Testament times, no one who was a self-professed Christian trying to spread the gospel of Christ, no one was like that. They were all really strong. They did anything they could to get their message out. Many of them were persecuted unto death. But we're going to get offended if we see a mean YouTube comment.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely true that Christianity has become this weak thing. And I had to tell you, guys, let's use your brain for a moment. Who would follow a religion? I'm putting the word religion out there because if you understand Christianity as the world views it right now, mm-hmm. it's a religion.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, they have a relationship with God. No, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Why would anybody follow Christianity as it's represented today?
Right.
I mean, outside of the church. I realize mm-hmm. everybody, there's a lot of Christians, but it's because there's certain kind of an exposure.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're already on the fence or you don't believe, and your exposure to Christianity is that if I say your mama dresses you funny, then all of a sudden it's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where your ministry to that person ends.
Right.
That is such a puny mm-hmm. religion.
And it's fake. And I think that it turns non-believers completely off because there's something inside of them that recognizes this is totally fake and I don't want anything to do with it. You know, when it's being represented in that way. But when you actually get a good, strong, loving Christian who knows how to talk and knows what he's talking about and you know whatever, but where if the non-believer is going to be a baby, they're going to be a baby, and it's not going to deter the Christian at all. That's great. That actually shows a lot of strength.
It gives them somebody to look up to and to respect.
Right. Right.
Finally, a good spokesperson of this religion that we call Christianity. But here's the thing. We need to completely refigure what our concepts of persecution is. A first century Christian's concept of the word persecution, that they would be persecuted, they thought beating, beheading, imprisonment. Imprisonment is not the same thing today as it was then, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
In the prisons in those days, you were chained to the floor, usually naked, but you might have been lucky enough to have been allowed a loincloth. You were surrounded by rats and all kinds of vermin and bugs and feces.
Mm-hmm.
And you were sitting in your own bodily mess because they didn't let you go to the bathroom. a horrible, horrible place. You're ice cold. You're beaten, open wounds. The imprisonment in those days, when they heard persecution and they thought imprisonment to be a part of that, they didn't think of the kind of prisons that we have now where mm-hmm. it's a carpeted little cushy prison cell and we get cable TV.
Right.
This was a time where blessed are the persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're lucky to be persecuted.
Right.
Now we think we are unlucky, judged against. We are reasonably justified in being offended when we receive an insult,
right.
whether that's coming from another member of the body or from the world. Blessed are you who are finding reason to be offended in something. Like, stop for a moment. Think about what the Bible's actually telling you to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed are those who are beheaded, imprisoned. This is what the first century church believed in.
Yeah.
They believed so much in God. They were so impassioned by Jesus Christ that they were willing to go out and say, okay, Nero, you're going to take my head off? Take it off. But because if you don't, I'm going to keep preaching.
Yeah.
These are the people that when the world around them looked, they saw, oh my gosh, he just got his head cut off mm-hmm. for this Messiah.
Yeah.
Let's pause for a moment and see what this guy was talking about.
Yeah.
We're not in that position now, because in America that right now that wouldn't happen yet.
Right.
Thank the Lord. But we're so spoiled that if you're insulted and you decide, I am not going to let that stop me. If you're going to insult me, do it. But I'm going to keep on saying, I'm going to keep on going in the direction. And you know what? If you're going to insult me to the point that I realize that there is no reason to be messing with this relationship anymore, I'm going to shake the dust off and I'm going to go to the next town and I'm going to keep on saying it. But you can't stop me. When you get to that point, and then the world around you can see the way you've reacted to that.
Mm-hmm.
Not in this vehement, well, you know, fluff you, I'm going to go mm-hmm. and you're not going to stop me. Don't match where they're at in the pettiness
right.
of the dispute, of the offense. But to be so emblazingly impassioned by this idea that you're going to go speak the word of God in the way he has told you to do it, and you're not going to be stopped, and you'll go from town to town doing it, and you will not allow yourself to be stopped by an insult. Blessed are you who endure the insult for the sake of righteousness and Jesus' name's sake.
Amen.
Nothing returns void ever. Not with the God that I serve. Nothing returns void. So do me a favor and say this to yourself the next time you feel like being offended. This comment is not what defines me, but it is going to be part of what qualifies me. Nothing defines you but God. But a lot of things you go through in this life qualify you. Readjust your perspective. Decide that you're going to keep moving forward. Will you get insulted again? I absolutely guarantee it. The Bible says it's going to happen. Will somebody come along and try to put you in your place and say little petty remarks and put your ministry down and tell you you're not doing it right? Absolutely, they are going to. Expect it. Know that it is part of your walk with God. And at the end of the day, decide that when that happens, not if, there's no if, when that happens, you are going to blaze ahead ever stronger because of the lesson you took out of that offense. At the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
the only voice that can stop you from doing what you have been told to do is yours.
That's right.
We need to learn to say that. We need to learn to say that and say it honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Accountable not only to God, but also to ourselves. We need to be honest with ourselves and say, the end of the day, the only thing that is going to stop me from what I have been called to do is me. Mine is the only voice that can stop me. Certainly God is not going to stop me from what I've been called to do, and nobody else has the power to.
Mm-hmm.
So let's stop playing games. Let's stop being all offended and hurt about everything and get a new perspective. You are going to be persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you are, take the lesson out of it and go full steam ahead. Full ramming speed for the gospel.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. It is time for us to grow up. It is time for us to develop a tougher skin and really take the gospel where it needs to go. I certainly hope that has helped. This has been such a good episode. Thank you, Donna, for talking about this.
You're welcome, Josh.
All right, then thank all of you for joining us on Chalk Talk. Hey, make sure you subscribe and click the bell for notifications. If YouTube still doesn't notify you, it likely won't, but maybe you'll win the lottery and it will. If it doesn't notify you, just know that every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, you will get a brand new episode of Chalk Talk. All right, everybody, have a great week, and until next time, take care and God bless.